The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Hi guys, you're listening to That's Mint on Fresh FM, broadcasting across the top of the South on 104.8 Nelson Tasman, 107.2 Nelson CBD, 88.9 Blenheim, 95.0 Eastern Golden Bay, and streaming to the planet on freshfm.co.nz. Hi everybody, welcome back. I'm Imogen.
I'm Avalon.
I'm Kinnery.
I'm Kara.
And I'm Esther.
And today we're going to be talking, it's a conversation, we're going to be talking about growing up in, I guess, different countries.
Or moving around.
Yeah, moving around a lot as a kid and I guess how that shapes our identity and who we are as people. So, Kinnery, I definitely think you have the most exciting story out of all of us. So, yeah.
So, I was born in Malaysia and I lived there for, I'm actually not sure, maybe a couple months. I was too young to remember. And then after that, I moved to Brunei and I was there for a couple years. And then I moved to Sakhalin, which is a small island in Russia. It's like above Japan. I lived there for another couple years. And then finally, I moved here to Nelson, New Zealand. I moved around a lot because of my dad's work, just because he was like required in a lot of places. And so we moved with him. Yeah, I'm really grateful because I've been able to live in some cool places, but it's also been a bit rough, you know? Yeah.
Like, what country out of all of the places you've lived do you feel most at home in or most comfortable with, you know?
I don't actually know. I would say, I think when I lived in Brunei, I felt that, because I went to a bigger school, it was a big international school.
Yeah.
So I felt that everyone kind of felt like they didn't belong as much as everyone else did. So it was kind of like we all had a space here. And like, because it was an international school, we celebrated like everyone's cultures a lot. And like, it was just really encouraged.
Yeah,
so I think that made me feel like a lot more like all these people know.
Yeah, understood. Feels, you know? I feel like kind of I can draw similarities with that because Avalon and I, as sisters, we moved to Samoa when I was 7 and my sister was...
I was 10.
10. And we also went to an international school and we moved there because of my dad's job. And I know what you mean by that whole thing of everyone else doesn't belong. It's not like you're singled out, which I feel like maybe Esther, that's something you can relate to a bit more. Maybe you as well. But it's like everyone has a shared experience of moving, even if it is a lot or just a little bit, everyone can relate to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like it just makes it a lot easier to deal with, like, and I guess to cope, because then you have people in the same situation as you, so you can relate to each other, you know?
Yeah, you can all go, oh yeah, I don't belong, but so don't you. And you, I mean, we had a couple of Samoan kids at our school.
I think half of the kids at our school were Samoan.
Yeah, around half.
And especially as we got older.
Yeah, especially through COVID, a lot of the international kids left. So it was mostly Samoans, but the Samoans that lived there were like, I don't know how to say, like maybe upper class Samoan people.
Yeah, either very wealthy Samoan people who were raised, who had still lived overseas or were born overseas, or Afakasi, which means like mixed
race. And so although they were Samoan as well, they still felt that like separation to the rest of the island, I would say. Like a lot of them were like, yeah, we're Samoan, but we're like Kiwi Samoan.
Or we're not that kind of Samoan.
Yeah, we're not the same as everyone else. So I feel like there was still that we're different, which was interesting.
Yeah.
What about for you guys? Because both Kira and Esther moved from their home countries to New Zealand and then moved around once they arrived in New Zealand. So what was that like?
Well, I was 6 years old when I first moved to New Zealand. And before that, my dad moved so he could get his job and the house ready for me, my mom and my sister.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we moved in 2018. We lived 4 years in Auckland. And I made lots of good friendships with a lot of people. My best friend lives in Auckland and I did Bollywood dancing. And yeah, we moved to three different houses.
Wow.
Yeah.
Each time you moved house, did you also move school?
No, we only moved to two schools, me and my sister. I went to a private school and another different primary school. And yeah, and then I was about, I was about 10 years old when we moved to Queenstown. And we lived there for about a year and a half.
Mm.
And then, we had our bunny with us. So we drove all the way from Auckland to Queenstown.
Whoa.
About 18-hour drive. That was crazy. I don't understand how I handled that. I can't even handle a 2-hour drive. And, we lived in one house in Queenstown, thank God. And my friendship wasn't that great in Queenstown, but the place was amazing. Yeah. I'm so glad I got to experience it. And then about 12 years old, we moved to Nelson.
Yeah.
And I met a lot of nice people. I went to intermediate and now I'm in college.
Yeah. So out of all of those, it sounds like Auckland was the one you felt most comfortable
yes.
in. Do you think that had to do with like it being such a big city? And I feel like Auckland and big cities, it's like very diverse, very multicultural.
Yes.
You have hundreds of cultures all in one city.
Mm-hmm. And yes. also a lot of your own culture as well.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, but it's very hard to make strong connections because I feel like when you're in a smaller city, it's
yeah.
easier to find people because you're all like stuck together.
Yeah,
but
right.
coming to Auckland after living in another country for like most of your life, it can be very overwhelming. So even though you're like surrounded by your culture, it can be hard to like reach out.
Mm. Yeah. Do you yeah. want to tell your story, Esther?
I was born in Brazil and I lived there until I was about 11. And then I came to New Zealand. I lived in Auckland, so it was a bit overwhelming. And then 5 years after that, after living in Nelson, I went back to Brazil for a trip. And even though I felt like it was like connecting to my culture, I felt like I was also disconnected a lot from it because I watched my friends like grow up and become these people, and I looked at them and I thought, wow, like that would have been me, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. So it made me realize how much moving can impact like your identity.
Yeah.
And who I am now, that would have not been me if I was still living in Brazil.
That know? Was definitely how it felt for my sister and I when we moved back to Nelson, because we grew up in Nelson and then we left and then we came back.
Yeah.
And that like coming back was just like, oh my goodness.
Like seeing your childhood friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just walking down the street and saying, I could have been like you and you, but instead moving has made me this completely new person. And like I have met so many people, especially because of the international school. I've just met hundreds of people. And I feel like every single one of them and all of the cultures that I've been exposed to have changed me so much
yeah.
than just a girl that grew up in Nelson,
yeah.
you know?
Mm. I feel like, I don't know, I feel more free with my interests here because like growing up in just one culture like you would in Brazil or South Africa, you feel like you're stuck to liking these things and
yeah.
being, you know, like everyone else. But like growing up in New Zealand, Nelson, I'm like surrounded by much more of a multicultural environment. So I feel more free to like different things, you know.
I feel like I understand what you guys mean, and like I feel the same as well. I also feel like because I went back to Thailand a couple of weeks ago and I saw some friends and I saw some of my cousins, it almost feels like seeing a different version of yourself. Like you look for parts of yourself that you can see in them, and it's so weird to see that.
Yeah.
And like also yeah, like what you said, Esther, like realizing how much moving's impacted you.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, there are so many positives to moving around, like that exposure, and I feel like just getting a better worldview
yeah.
and understanding
yeah.
of other people. But there are some negatives too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of touched on that, Kara, when you said moving to Queenstown.
Oh, yeah.
And like struggling to find friends.
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah, I mean, I had a few strong connections with a few people, but I did end up getting myself stuck in a toxic friend group, which was hard to get out of. But yeah, I'm so glad I got to move to Nelson.
Yeah, I feel like it's when you're moving quickly from place to place, it's that like desperately just trying to cling on to one friend group, or like desperately trying to just fit yourself into one place without really thinking, wait, do I actually like these people? That's like not the point. It's just having a friend.
Is it all I've got? Because like I cannot find anything else.
Yeah.
In Samoa, for a lot of our time there, Imogen and I had these relationships with friends that we didn't actually, or like we were in these relationships with people that we didn't have anything in common with, or we didn't really even get on with, to be honest. But it was because we lived in such a small community and we had nothing else.
Yeah.
That you had to kind of,
you had to let go of, like, or just acknowledge the fact that you had nothing to do with each other and just be like, well, we've got to be friends. There's nothing else.
There's no other real.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even with kids. That was with adults too. Like, now we're in a different environment. Like, we sit back and my mom's like, oh my God, I hated all of those people. And we were hanging out with them like every day for dinner, you know? But it was just like the desperation for any kind of connection is better than no connection.
Like, when I moved here, it's really hard to find friends. So I would just stick with anybody who would be willing to talk to me, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like really, really like, do I have to talk to that girl who doesn't even speak English? Like, it's really, it's a lot of effort, you know?
Yeah.
So I would kind of just go with anybody who would wanted to speak to me.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing, Esther. Did you, Kinnery, move to any countries where English wasn't the primary language? And what was that like, I guess, living in countries where you were, there was the language barrier?
So in Brunei, of course, I'm pretty sure, I actually can't remember, I was quite young. I think the national language is Malay. I think there was, there was a big Malayan population and everyone spoke Malay and I didn't. And I think a lot of kids at my school also didn't. But the community that I lived in, like, we all kind of just stuck to each other. Yeah. We didn't, there wasn't a lot of, like, I guess, because it was all the expats and we all, like, lived near each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we all knew each other.
Same
so,
for us.
Yeah.
It's that expatriate community.
Yeah, you don't really, lived in, like, a little gated community, too. Yeah. Like, it was very much you stayed with your people.
Yeah. And when I lived in Russia as well, it was the same. I lived in a tiny gated community and I think the school was maybe like 150 people. And so it was, I had the exact same experience that you guys did, like hanging out with kids that I didn't even get on with and then going to their houses for dinner. And like years later, my parents are like, oh, I hated hanging out with those guys. Like, and like, it's just crazy how you don't, like in the moment, you can't really see it.
Yeah.
But like looking back now, I just realized like I was friends with people who I didn't get on with. And, like, you just kind of put up with it, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it is all you have.
Yeah.
There's no one else there. Because in Russia as well, all the kids who didn't go to my school all only spoke Russian.
Right.
So
you didn't have anybody else. Well, yeah, same with us, to be honest. Everybody else spoke Samoan. I think one of the things that really taught me, and I've always been very independent by nature, but, like, it taught me to be comfortable in my own company. Like, it was something I learned, especially as I got a little bit older, and I realized, like, if I didn't get on with those people, I was actually okay to be by myself. And that is something that's so valuable. And, like, even if I am feeling overwhelmed or if I'm not getting on with the people that I'm around, that's something that I can always go back to, is the fact that I'm actually very happy on my own and I'm capable of entertaining myself and keeping myself company, and also being comfortable with the person I am when no one else is around, is really important. And I think that's probably one of the best lessons that I learned from having to live outside of my culture and outside of the community that I was born in.
Wow, that's really awesome that you've come to that realization. And I think because you would have been older than I was when you were moving, right?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, I think it's cool seeing how that's what, like, you got out of it. Because I think now, like, not recently, but, like, I had that same realization, but just a little bit after, mm-hmm. like after I stopped moving around as much. And I remember that while I was still moving, I was still clinging on. And I would, like, I was the opposite. Like, I was not okay, like, being by myself. Like, I had to have, like, someone else.
Yeah.
And, like, and now I've had that realization of, like, I'm okay with being myself as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel the same as you, Kinnery. Like, when I was in the international schools, it was so transient. There were always people, like, coming and going and coming and going. And I always felt like, oh, my God, now I have to change myself. Like, I need to be friends with this person. Oh, my God, I need to be friends with this person. And I was never comfortable with just being like, oh, maybe they don't like me. Maybe I don't have to be friends with them. And so it kind of wasn't only until I arrived in Nelson and I came back here that I was like, but I actually can't be bothered. Like, I've done it so much that now I'm just tired. I don't want to do it anymore.
I feel the same.
Yeah. Like, I agree with all of you guys. Like, I think only maybe last year I realized that I should be comfortable with myself, because I wasted a lot of my time, like, trying to be like everyone else when I lived in Queenstown. So, yeah, I'm really glad I finally realized that I'm just fine with being myself, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's almost exhausting, like, always having to try and fit in. And especially when you're moving around, it's not just once you have to try and fit in and then you completely mold yourself into that person that everyone else likes. It's like you're constantly remolding yourself because there are constantly different groups that you're trying to fit into.
And when the people around you are moving as well, like, it's never the same people. Everyone is always so different. And you have to spend time trying to, like, find out what you actually have to be like as well to fit into this new group.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. Yeah. All right, we are going to have a little break and we will play you one of our favorite songs. Kenry, would you like to introduce?
I don't actually know what it's called. It's a beautiful song by China Dolls, who are a duo of two beautiful Chinese and Thai women.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, thank you.
Come on.
Welcome back, everyone. You just listened to Hamoini Cat by the China Dolls.
Beautiful song. We love it so much.
Well, that's one of our faves.
Yeah. Favorite song.
Okay, so previously we discussed what it's like moving around a lot as children. And so, yeah, we're just going to get a little bit back into that. We discussed, while we were listening to our beautiful song, the definition of home, or like where home feels like to us.
Mm.
Esther, where is home for you?
I feel like it's gradually changed a lot for me. The more I'm here, the more I'm like confused about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like if I go back to Brazil now, I'll feel connected. More at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always felt like that too. Like, I think Adeline and I are going to have very different things to say about this. But I really feel like nowhere is my home at the moment.
Mm.
Because although I was raised in both Samoa and Nelson.
Probably an equal amount.
Equal amount of both, like 7 years and 6 years.
Yeah.
When I left Nelson, I was little. I don't really remember it. So when I came back, it was very much like moving to a new place again for me because I just couldn't remember anything, whereas Avalon did. So that doesn't feel like home because it feels like I've only lived in this place for 2 years now.
Because for Avalon, I imagine like your brain was the most developed in Samoa because you became an adolescent there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for me, Samoa isn't really home either because unlike my sister, like as she was saying with her independence thing, a lot of what I felt was my home in Samoa was the people, was like my house and my school. And so if I was to move back there now, I wouldn't live in the same house. I wouldn't go to the same school, and because I went to a like international school,
none of my people
live in Samoa anymore. They all live all over the world, and so that is not my home. Like if I was to return there, I would have nothing to go back to besides the land, which I do have a connection to, and some of the beaches are like I would feel at home in, but I think in a general sense, I don't feel fully connected to that.
I think I relate to that in some way. Like, what's holding me together with Brazil, it's the memories of the people.
Yeah.
But if I go back, it's not like they're going to be there in the same age.
In the same way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So my experience was when I first moved to Samoa, from the moment I left, I think it became very clear to me that New Zealand was never my home to begin with because I'm biracial. And my mother is black, so I don't look like anybody else in New Zealand. And when I got to Samoa and I was a tourist, I was a new person, I realized the way that I was treated there was the same way that I was treated in New Zealand. And I became very resentful towards New Zealand, and I didn't ever want to have to come back here because of a lot of the negative memories or like things that happened to me as a child that I didn't realize were wrong or were bad because of the color of my skin. And then once I left and I realized that that kind of thing actually isn't normal or isn't acceptable, it made me very anxious and it made me feel like I wasn't welcome here, which
you associated, like once you learn about racism, which happened away from Nelson, you associated Nelson only with
I did, like I only kind of the only memories that I carried with me from that were quite negative ones. And I was pretty like angry in general, to be honest. And like in Samoa for the first few years, I really didn't like being there, but I didn't really want to be anywhere else. And then I learnt about kind of being independent and being happy with being on my own. I also stopped going to school for a couple of years, which I think is probably the thing that shaped who I am the most because I wasn't around people who were constantly moving. It was just me. And while I wasn't at school, I was in nature a lot and I was on my island a lot. And from that, Samoa is my home. Like, it, there is no other place in the whole world that I would feel the same level of just, like, love for my, like, that is where I belong.
I remember when we first moved here from Samoa, Avalon, she was like to me, she was like, oh, I hate being here because I can't tell what time it is by looking at the sun. And I feel like that's such a good way to explain her relationship with the island, because it was like the land was her home.
Yeah.
It didn't matter about the culture or the people. It was like the land and like,
yeah, the spirit of the island. And like, I knew it so well. I think like that really impacted just everything. Like, I could tell, like, I knew the seasons of the, like, when the jellyfish would come, or I knew what tides were like on different sides of the island. I didn't have to be there. I could tell when it was going to rain. I could tell when certain fruits were in season or what flowers were in bloom. Like, I felt very in touch with everything that was going on. And then coming back to New Zealand, like, immediately I feel like untethered, I guess, or like I'm not connected to anything anymore. I don't have the same relationship or understanding to the nature around me. But something that I did notice when I came back is, like, in New Zealand, I am with my people, which I didn't expect at all. Like, I, when I came to New Zealand, I was very angry because I didn't want to be here and I wanted to go home. And then I started school and I ended up in classes with all of the girls that I knew when I was really little. And in Samoa, I didn't feel like I was the same as anybody. But when I started school here and I reconnected with all those people that I knew when I was really small, I realized that we have so much in common, just in the way that we were raised and the way that we speak and the interests that we have. And then also, like, while I was here, I feel like I kind of... I've met a lot of other people that are like me too. So it's both. I feel at home with the people here, and I feel at home with people at Multicultural Youth in particular. Those are my people, but my home is Samoa, and it will always be Samoa.
What about for you, Kira?
Well, I had really strong connections when I was living in South Africa. I'm born there, and I just grew up with a whole lot of family. Friends weren't really a big thing because I was in kindergarten and I left from kindergarten. But yeah, I had a lot of family in South Africa, mom and dad's side, very big. And when I moved to New Zealand, 5 years later, my family decided we should go visit. And it was very different when we visited them. I imagined them a lot different because, you know, I was very small. And they were like, it's almost like they were seeing a different person when they saw me. So, yeah. And my cousins, imagined like seeing a five-year-old cousin and then 5 years later, they're 10 years old, you know?
Yeah, right.
It was very like different. And new cousins as well and new family. Yeah, it was very different.
Did it feel like home?
It did when I was living there, but not anymore. And I just have memories of South Africa, you know, those like small random memories, birthdays, celebrations, that just made it feel like home. But I wouldn't call South Africa my home.
Out of all of the cities, which one would you say was your home in New Zealand then? Do you think it's like time that defines that, like the length that you stay in the city?
Yeah.
Or the people, would you say?
I'd say both the people and the time you spend in the city. Like, well, I've only been living in Nelson for a year now.
Yeah.
But I already feel so connected. And yeah, it's
That's really good.
Yeah, I think Nelson's my hometown out of all the places I've ever lived.
Yeah.
That's so nice to hear.
That's for sure.
That's awesome.
And what about you, Kinnery, as our little final one?
Little migrant.
Yeah.
I think I felt the most, I think my life felt the most, I guess, normal when I was living in Sakhalin. Because the gated community, the community that I lived in, everyone knew each other because it was probably the smallest school I went to. All the parents knew each other. My parents were friends with all the other parents. Like, we had dinners together. We had parties together. We like celebrated holidays all together. I could just run around and go up the street and go hang out with my friend and it would be fine. And I guess my life felt the most normal there.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that if I went back, it obviously would be so different. I know that the school I went to is actually shut down now.
Oh, wow.
So none of the teachers I knew would still be there. I think that gated community is also just, like, abandoned now.
Mm.
So I don't think... I think I would... I would like to call Thailand my home because that's where I'm from, that's where my mum's from. But I've never lived there, of course.
Yeah.
Mm. But we've always made an effort to go back. And every time I go back, I do feel at home because I guess I'm surrounded by a language that I can speak that isn't English. And, like, it just feels... It feels so good to be able to speak it to everyone and just, like, everyone understands what I'm saying and all these people talk to me in Thai. And, like, it's just... There's, like, a different culture there. And it's just, like...
Your culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel more welcomed as well.
Yeah, I feel I feel very welcome in Thailand, even if I didn't live there.
That's good.
I think I definitely feel more welcomed in Thailand than I do in Nelson, but I would like to say that Nelson has started to become more of my home.
Okay.
Now that, like, joining Mint Multicultural Youth, like, it's just made me feel so much more accepted as well. Like,
yeah,
it's like somewhere where I can go and be with people who are like me again.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, it's just made it feel better to be here.
Yeah.
And like making stronger friendships and joining, like, just being a part of the community.
Mm-hmm.
So I think slowly Nelson's starting to become more of a home for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, yeah.
Well, that was a nice way to end it, I think. Thank you guys all so much for listening. And
that's all we've got time for.
See you next time.
Bye.
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.